Our scripture for this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. You can find this inside your bulletin and also on page 786 in the ESV Pew Bible. It's on the pew back in front of you, if you'd like to follow along there as well. Hear now God's word. And when he returned to Capernaum, after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose, and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. How are we doing this morning? Doing all right? Good, good, good. Well, for those who don't know me, my name is Brian Moore, and my wife Tesh and I have been attending this church for about 4.5 years. We've been members, and we, in that time, have gotten to know many of you. Many of you, and felt very, very blessed to be a part of this congregation and part of this church, and we felt cared for by so many of you in many, many ways. As we get going, I want to give you a little bit of background on myself, just in case we haven't met. So Tesha and I, that is, currently both serve with our high school students, so we help lead and care for that group, which is a lot of fun. They give us a lot of energy and exhausting, all at the same time, in all honesty, but we really enjoy it. I'm also currently serving as an elder here at the church, which has been challenging and humbling and really fun at the same time. Simply put, it's just a privilege to be able to serve in that manner with this church body. Professionally, I work as an IT project manager for a company in Hilliard, which means that I get to drive from Gahanna or New Albany all the way to Hilliard every single day. And I see many of you, like Gino. I see Gino on the highway, and we just wave and say, "Man, isn't this fun that we see each other?" Even if he's a Bears fan. So a big life change happened for Tesh and I that many of you are probably aware of. Back in February, we welcomed our firstborn, Parker, into the world. And Parker turns 6 months tomorrow. This is us recently on a trip to Chillicothe. just kidding. We're out at Yosemite and it's a vacation. It was a great trip. Look at how well protected his skin is, right? They're just really nailing that dad thing. No sun is touching him. Not on my watch. So, well, I'm really excited about being here with you today and what I feel the Lord has for us. So let me pray, and then we're going to jump into talking about this scripture we went through. Lord, we thank you that we get to come and worship you. That's a gift. It's a gift that we even get to be here and come before you and glorify your name. Thank you for allowing us to do that. I pray now that as we study your word, that you would send your Holy Spirit to be here and convict and encourage where encouragement's needed and challenge us, Father. I pray that as I speak, that you'd strip words that are not mine from me and replace them with your words and your truth. We are very grateful that we even get this opportunity, and I thank you for it. So I pray you bless this morning and our time together. Amen. Amen. Well, that picture you saw, like I said, is from our vacation that Tesh and I recently took out to Yosemite. And I say vacation, but that's not an accurate word when you take a five-month-old. It's more like a trip or an adventure with a five-month-old, because you just don't It's not restful, right? Like, it's very, very different for us. And for every moment like this, where we're looking at this beautiful scene in Yosemite, we had like 5 moments like this, which is Tesh and I eating cheap takeout wings in the bathroom of a Fairfield Inn because we just tricked Parker into sleeping, right? So we were like creeping around, and like Tesha rolled into Ottoman, and we found a chair, thankfully, because there was another seat in the bathroom. Well, you know what the other seat is in the bathroom. Was not sanitary, but was tasty. And also, believe it or not, we had never tried this date night idea before having a kid. So if you're looking for ideas, may I recommend? You know, if there's anything in the last 6 months of having Parker that I have become aware of, it is of my desperate need. Desperate need. Like, we're just surviving. And we've needed a lot of help. And we've gotten a lot of help from a lot of you. And Tesh and I could not be more grateful for that. We really couldn't have done what we've done, I guess, so far, which is, I guess, keeping him alive without you. And it's been a really humbling experience. And there's many times where, not besides just needing help from you guys, I've just cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, I can't do this, right? It's 3 a.m., he's screaming, I have no clue what's going on, and we need your help. And so, like I said, incredibly aware of my need, and in really hard times, that often happens. And what's really fun today, what I'm excited about, is the passage that we're going to talk about today here in Mark. It gives us a great image of how Jesus, in the midst of our really difficult times, cares for us, he understands our needs, and he provides. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning, and that's really fun for me to do. A little background story on where we're at here in Mark. This is very early in Jesus' ministry, but it's still, he's already completed several miracles as he's traveled, so his fame is well known at this point. So as he goes places, word goes ahead of him, and people pack out the place, right? That's what we see here in this house. So standing room only, looking out the door, peeking in from the outside, that's the only way you're going to get in. And it's at this time that we're introduced to this paralytic man. And we really don't know a lot about him. We don't really have much of a background on him. But we do know that he needed help getting to Jesus and getting in front of him. And that's where these 4 men, who we can only assume are friends, given what they likely went through to get there, came in. And so these men carry this man to the house, and getting there, they find out what we just talked about, which is that it's packed, and definitely this paralyzed man won't be able to see or get in, so they do a little bit of creative thinking, and they work their way to the roof, which had to be very difficult, carrying somebody who can't carry themselves up to the roof, and on the top, then what do? Well, they have to break through the roof, and which that had to take a while, because, like, I mean, they don't have a Sawzall to cut a hole, and so there was no, like, 4 cuts and drop. It was, and just to be clear, they didn't drop, they lowered, which is really important for this man's health. But they did lower this man in. And then what happened? He's in front of Jesus. So the man's lowered there in front of Jesus, and Jesus sees him, acknowledges him, and what does he say? What's his first thing he says? He doesn't say, hey, take your mat and walk, and heals him. No. What does he say in verse 5? He says, son, your sins are forgiven. Why did Jesus say that? Certainly wasn't because he didn't understand that this man was paralyzed, right? It's pretty obvious he's being lowered on a mat, and also he's Jesus, so he knew. So why did he say it? Well, I think what Jesus is telling this paralyzed man and us is that those physical needs and those limitations that we have, that's not actually our greatest need. Not at all. You see, our greatest need is for our Savior to redeem us. That's our greatest need. At all times, we need our Savior to redeem us, to forgive us of our sins, what we're going through. We need him. Okay? That's incredibly apparent in how he heals this man and how he talks to him. So we don't know what's going through the paralytic man's mind, but if he was like me, I can imagine it maybe was something like this, if he was like me. Jesus, I'm really thankful for my sins being forgiven. Just want you to hear that. Huge fan of that. A little more backstory on myself. I'm paralyzed, and I kind of came here today with that issue in mind, thinking you would help me out there. All right? Well, why do I think that's what he thought? Because if I'm honest, that's actually how I operate in my daily life a lot of times. So often, my perception of my greatest need is shaped by my current situation. Do you do this too? So for me, if I'm struggling staying up all night with a baby, I think my greatest need is for sleep. If I'm struggling being sick, I think my greatest need is health, right? If you're single, you might believe that your greatest need is for a boyfriend or a girlfriend. If you're struggling in your job, it becomes getting a new job. If you're a student and you're going back to school this week, which you're welcome for that reminder, you might think your greatest need is to be liked, or maybe fit in, or maybe just not even be noticed, or honestly, maybe it just might be that your greatest need is another month of summer, but that ain't happening. You should know that that's not actually your greatest need. And just so you know, that your teachers, trust me, I live with one, are also feeling that same, hesitation, if you will, about school starting. So you're not alone in it. The truth is, all of those things we're talking about, they're really difficult. And okay for them to be really difficult. They're not trivial. They're all secondary to our greatest need. Right? Our greatest need at all times is for a Savior. And that's, we see that here in this passage as Jesus heals his sins first. And it's really cool. I want to be very clear, as I kind of just noted that just because they're not our greatest needs, they're not trivial needs, right? The things that people are experiencing in this room are really hard, really hard. And I don't pretend to know them, but I imagine there's pain, there's injury, there's loss, there's difficult relationships, there's anxiety and stress, right? Our students going back to school, there's a lot of anxiety and stress that comes with that. Maybe some excitement, but I doubt that's the common emotion right now. And so all these things are very real and big deal. So what do we do with those things? Well, this is the amazing thing. The God that we worship is big enough and mighty enough that he's not only able to provide for our greatest need, which is redeeming us and saving us, but he's able to handle all those other needs as well, right? Like, he's all sufficient. He's all powerful. He's good. He knows you and he cares about you and he wants to be with you in those moments. So as we run into this moments of need, as we're reminded of those, our call is to go before him and say, Lord, here I am. I need you. That's our call. And he's capable of handling that. He's the only one who's capable of handling that. He has no needs. No needs. And therefore, he can provide everything, right? He has no limitations. Our God doesn't have limitations. He's capable of providing all. It's also why, as we look at the passage, look at this paralytic man and what happened in verses 10 and 11, right? Jesus forgives him of his sins, and then later on in the passage, we get to 10 and 11. And what does he say? He says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. He takes care of that secondary need, which is a big need in his life, but he handles that as well. You know, as we look at this passage, and I mentioned earlier that I've just been aware of my incredible need over the last 6 months, painfully aware of it. As we look at this passage, and as I was thinking about it, one thing that really convicted me was this question. Why do I only tend to acknowledge my need for Jesus when things are hard? Why is that? Why does it take that to happen? It's certainly not that we only need Jesus in those times, right? In the midst of the most joyous moment of your life where things are really, really good, you need Jesus equally in the way that when things are really hard. We see our need for Jesus isn't based on circumstance. No, our need for Jesus is a constant need. It is a constant need. There's no ebb and flow to it. It's the same at all times. Why was when the man was lowered through the roof, it's a paralyzed man, why were his sins forgiven? Or why did he need his sins forgiven? Was it because he was paralyzed? No, of course not. He needed his sins forgiven because he was human and he's sinful, like you and I. That's why he needed his sins forgiven. Do you want to know who else needed their sins forgiven? The four men who brought the paralyzed man to Jesus. They needed their sins forgiven equally as the paralyzed man. Think of what they did. They had this really strenuous physical task to get him in front of Jesus. This was an act of compassion, of love, of service. There was strategic planning. There was creative thinking. Like a lot of really good things that we would say are positives, right? But none of that removes them of their need for Jesus. No, that's consistent. That's constant. That's constant. The same thing goes for us. As we go through life, as we do things that are glorifying to God, that doesn't ever change us. We never move beyond our need for Jesus in the midst of those moments. He still calls us to do those, and he's glorified by them, but it doesn't ever change our ultimate need. Not at all. Years ago, roughly, 10 years ago, ballpark, I had a job working at Young Life Camp as a parasail boat driver, okay? Which, as you can see, led me to my IT career. And it was an adventure. I had never driven a parasail boat beforehand, so you're going there, because there's not, simply put, not many opportunities to train on the Olentangy. And so I only trained when I got there. And I was so stressed out. Oh my gosh. Couldn't sleep, lost weight. It was a rough time. But as I practiced and learned, here's what happened in those moments, because I was so stressed and aware that I didn't know what I was doing. I prayed a lot. And then when a flight would go well, I praise God that the flight went well. All right. And then each flight that took off, I was aware that I'm like, Lord, I need your help on this. And he provided. I only had two accidents, okay? And they were fine. All right. So if you want to go parasailing with me afterwards, I'm your guy. All right. But here's a funny thing that happened. As the summer went on, I got better at driving a parasail boat. Amazing, right? But a funny thing also happened. I stopped praying as much. Right? Stopped praying as much. And I stopped thanking God for successful rides as much. And I started really thinking about how sweet I was as a parasail boat driver, right? Which, as you can imagine, is a pretty prominent position in our world. Why would I not think I was sweet? But this is what I realized in those times, and as I look back on it, and I still struggle with this today, that when I feel like I have the skill set or capabilities to handle the task at hand, I am so quick to run to those abilities of my own. Instantly. Just like that. Doesn't take much. Do you do this as well, I wonder? As you get comfortable in maybe a new job, do you start thinking more about how well you're doing and how great you are and not recognizing your need for Jesus as much? A lot of times when we get new jobs, we're praying really hard beforehand that we get that job, right? Because we need the Lord's help in getting it. We need his help in interviewing or whatever it might be. Then we start a new job and we don't know what we're doing. So we pray a lot and we thank God for his provision of the new job. But as we move on, do we keep doing that? Same with school. You're about to start school. There's a lot of prayer that goes into starting school. But as the school year comes on in April, are you doing that then? Are you recognizing that you need Jesus in April? These difficult moments that we go through, these needs that we have, it might not feel like it, but they really are a gift. I think it's a huge blessing that the Lord allows us to fail in some form. Why? Because it reminds us that we aren't capable of doing it on our own. Think about this paralytic man. Do you think he thought, wow, I'm so glad I'm paralyzed? No, of course not. It was probably really hard, a lot, like all the time. But look what happened to him because of his paralysis. He ended up at the feet of Jesus, right? So ultimately, he experienced the greatest good he could possibly experience because of this trial that he was experiencing. And in that moment of being his daily life, I'm sure he didn't recognize that and notice that. And it's the same for us. I'm sure we don't feel that way. There are things that are really hard. And it's okay for them to be really hard. But if they remind us that we need Jesus and they bring us to his feet, then that is the greatest good you can experience. And ultimately, we should be grateful for those. So students, as the school year is hard, think about that. The Lord is driving you to him in those moments, and he's there with you. I also think this is why it's important for us to step out in our faith and pursue uncomfortable situations for the sake of the gospel and sharing our faith. Why? Because that stretches you. That stretches you. That is a very clear spot in which you know you are not capable of doing it on your own. If you've ever been there, you know it, right? And when things happen because you know that you don't actually know what you're doing, it's really easy to be aware that God did it. And you glorify him in those moments. We have a lot of opportunities in our church for you to do things like this. If you weren't aware, we are moving very soon. And we have a lot of momentum in that direction, which is good because it's very soon. And we have a new trailer that Mark is super proud of because it's great. And he's done a great job leading a team of volunteers, many of you in this room who've served and led our church in that way. But we also have a lot of other opportunities in the ministries that we do. Whether it's serving with our youth in some form, or our jam, whether it's serving in Linden and building relationships there with our friends in Linden who we love and care about and are just some of my favorite people that I've ever met. We have a lot of opportunities for you to share the gospel with people at our church, And are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? Step out. Be bold. Serve somewhere you aren't used to serving. Looking at Mark 2, it's really hard to not be amazed at the faith and the effort of the friends, is it not? Think about all they went through. I covered it a little bit. But that had to have been exhausting. Like, I'm not the strongest person in the world, certainly. A little stronger now that I'm a dad. But I still don't think I could have carried him that far. It would have been exhausting. It had to be frustrating, right? Can you imagine carrying him to the house and then finding out you can't get in? Probably pretty discouraging. But what do? They push on through. They keep going. And they get to the roof. And ultimately, they get their friend in front of Jesus. And in doing so, they provide an amazing example for us. You see, as Christians, ultimately our role is this, to bring others to the feet of Jesus. That's our role. As Christians, we get the opportunity to share the gospel with people. And we get to bring them in front of Jesus and say, here's what he has to offer, because we have nothing to offer. We don't have to have an answer for everything, because we don't. We don't, right? And if we offer ourselves to people, it's going to be pretty disappointing ultimately. But when we're spending time with people and caring for them and loving them and serving them, it ultimately should be done with the goal of sharing the gospel with them. Because that is the greatest good they will ever experience. That is the greatest good. Nothing else. There's a lot of fun things that you will happen in caring for them and loving them. But if it falls short of introducing them to Jesus, you're leaving them short as well. All right? Don't do that. Take him to the feet of Jesus. Can you imagine where the paralytic would have been without his friends? He would have been short, been laying on the ground, waiting to get in front of Jesus. If the friends had stopped, and he never would have gotten there, because he needed them. Same with us. We need each other. Our friends and our family need us to bring them in front of Jesus so they can encounter him. As I said earlier, it wasn't an easy task. Certainly was not convenient at any point for them. I don't know what they were planning on doing the rest of the day. They might have had some great plans. I don't know what they did in that time. But it was not convenient for them to do this. And as I thought about it, I recognized this. When I'm sharing the gospel with people, when I'm loving and serving people, so often I stop at convenient. All the time. So when things get just a little bit more challenging or take some more of my time or maybe mess with our baby's sleep schedule, I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. Or if it's somebody at work or a friend or family who I know we have hard conversations with, I'm probably not going to go there if I know it's going to be awkward and uncomfortable. Do you do this as well? Are there areas of your life where you do this? Do you do this at work with your coworkers? Do you do this at home with your friends and your family? Don't do it. I challenge you this week to think about this. Is God calling you to serve and share the gospel with somebody and you're holding back? Don't do that. There's a lot in it for them, the greatest thing that's in it for them, and there's a lot in it for you too. And hopefully, when you're inviting people to the feet of Jesus, hopefully it's that. Hopefully it's an invitation to join you at the feet of Jesus, because that's where you live, right? Not just telling people, hey, you need Jesus, I'm good, right? I've already gotten that. No, you're inviting people to go with you because you never move beyond that. As Christians, we never move beyond that base level. Never once. So we're constantly needing to go back to Jesus saying, Lord, I need you. I need your help. I know I'm a sinner. I know I have nothing to offer. I'm inadequate at all times. Think about the testimony that is, if as a Christian, to say that to a friend. To acknowledge that you don't have what it takes, that you're struggling, you're going through some things, and you need Jesus' help. That's a powerful testimony. Because you're not presenting yourself, right? If we as Christians act as if we have it all together at all times, well, guess what? We're just selling people on ourselves. We're not selling them on the greatest truth, which is that we need Jesus. Not at all. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that we desperately need Jesus at all times. What did these friends experience because of their efforts? Well, one, they themselves got in front of Jesus. Isn't that cool? Their effort got them in front of Jesus in their service. They experienced more of him. They got to see their friend's sins forgiven, their own sins are forgiven, and they got to see their friend healed. Can you imagine the joy of that? Like this person who you know is paralyzed is able to walk. Think of the joy that is experienced in that moment. Friends, that's the same thing for us right now, right? When we share the gospel, when we experience these things as a community, we experience joy as we see people's lives changed by Jesus. Right? If you've been part of serving and sharing the gospel with somebody and seeing them come to know the Lord, I'm telling you, you know it. There's no greater feeling. There's no greater joy that you can experience than that, seeing somebody walk from death to life. So don't miss out on that. The more we share the gospel, the more of this we get. Like I said, it's the greatest news. It's our greatest need. It's our most consistent need. It's our only constant need. And it's our call as Christians to do this. I want to end today by talking about why this is important and maybe what happens if we don't do this. There are probably 100 reasons why this is important. For the sake of time and maybe because you have a brunch reservation, I'm going to do 3, okay? So you can get out of here. Here's one. If we don't consistently recognize our need for Jesus, it becomes that much easier for us to fall into sin. Why? Why is that? Well, we start to think we're good on our own, and we start to justify things that are we know are not right, but there may be gray areas we perceive, and we start to think of them as more of gray areas, and we start blurring lines, right? And we're not connected to the vine, so here we are, we drift. And but when you consistently are going before God and saying, Lord, I need your help, I'm struggling with this, I need you, or I recognize that I'm a sinner, he's going to identify those areas in your life. Our mission statement as a church is what? It's to glorify God through lives changed by Jesus Christ, right? Well, it's really hard to change if you don't understand that you need it. Really hard. So that comes through a lot of different mechanisms, if you will, of us acknowledging our need. One of them is through prayer and us going before the Lord and petitioning him to reveal that in our lives. It's a scary thing to ask because you never know how he's going to do it, but it's worth it. Another way is we do that for each other. We show each other our need, right? If you know that a brother or sister of yours is going through something, struggling with sin, maybe not walking in the light in the area, your call is to graciously and lovingly meet with them and bring them back to the feet of Jesus where forgiveness exists. That's your call. The second thing is, ultimately, acknowledge our need for Jesus is freeing. Why is it freeing? Usually you wouldn't think that, hey, my need is going to free me, right? But it's freeing because of this. You don't have to be perfect because Jesus is, right? So instead of us striving and failing continually and getting exhausted because we need perfection in our lives because we think we do, you get to acknowledge that the Savior you worship is perfect. And you're not in it alone, right? Not only do you have this community, this church body with you, but you have the God of the universe who's with you and cares for you and compassionately wants to work through what you're going through. That is freeing. When I don't have to figure out all the things that are going on in my life and have answers for everything, and I can trust that Jesus is sovereign and the Lord has a vision for what my life is going to be and he's doing it and implementing his will, that's freeing. That's freeing. And finally, following Jesus and acknowledging our need for the Lord glorifies him. That's what we're all about, right? Isn't that what our life is about? Bringing glory to God? That's our purpose. That's our purpose here. When we try to figure things out on our own, when we do things on our own will, our own initiative, guess who's getting the glory? Guess who we're trying to give the glory to? Ourselves. Ourselves. But when we are falling at the feet of Jesus and we're recognizing we can't do things, recognizing we're struggling, recognizing that we're sinners, God gets the glory. Because he is ultimately the one who's doing all the work anyways. Like he's the one who's provided everything for you. And you acknowledging him gives him a lot of glory. And that's amazingly worth it. If you are here today, maybe you're visiting, and maybe you're here with us for the first time, a couple things. One, I preach about once every 2 years. So if this wasn't for you, you got pretty good odds of not having me next week, so I'd recommend coming back. Two, I want to tell you this. Whether you recognize it or not, your greatest need is to be saved by Jesus. That's your greatest need. And you need him to save you from your sins and call you home. And there's a lot of other things you're going through that are really hard, and we're not aware of those. We want to be in that with you, and we want to encourage you as you're going through things, but your greatest need is for Jesus. And I would encourage you today to not hesitate on that. All it takes to follow him is to acknowledge your sin, that you need him as a Savior, and you're going to worship him as Lord. You need that today. Don't wait. That need never changes, but you can have eternal life in heaven today with him as you follow him. We're going to pray to close this out. And afterwards, we're going to close with the Lord's Prayer. But as you go from today, I want you to think of a couple of opportunities maybe for you to fall before Jesus and recognize your need. Look for areas in your life where you aren't doing that and change that, right? The God we worship is a great God. He's capable of providing all that we ever need, and he does. So why would we ever hold back from him when he's wanting to be with us? Let's pray. Jesus, we acknowledge that we are desperately in need of rescue. That we are sinners, inadequate to do anything on our own. We need you. And you gave us everything in dying on the cross for our sins and rising again on the third day. Father, help us this week to acknowledge you in our life. Convict us of areas where we're not doing that. Remind us that as things are hard, that's because you want us to recognize you in them, and that you're in the middle of it with us. Father, open our eyes to things that we're struggling with. Help us challenge each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us share the gospel boldly as we go forward. We're grateful that we even get to worship you. We're not worthy of that, but you allow us to do so. So, Father, close now with the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.